where Fairfield comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Inside, we all need the same thing.
One act of kindness in public will affect everyone around you.
I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
And welcome. I'm Lisa Wexler, and welcome to our Kindness of Strangers special segment that we run on Fridays, on our Feel Good Fridays. Let's go right to the callers. Our telephone number, 203-333-9422. This is storytelling. I want to hear, we want to hear, when you have observed the kindness of a stranger, someone that might have been kind to you, someone you know, someone you observed, or even if you want to share when you did something unusually special for somebody else that you didn't even know. Let's go first to Trish from Shelton. Hi, Trish. Welcome to the show and good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Lisa, and happy Rosh Hashanah. And thank you for sharing all of your religious experience as well. You're like my stranger with kindness, teaching everybody different things and how we can embrace our lives and be better people. One time I was coming out of a park, out of the Walmart parking lot, and I had my blinker on. A girl had her blinker on, and somebody else tried to get into the spot. So I made sure I waited to back out so that she could get the spot. And I put my pocketbook mm-hmm. in my carriage, and I went home, and then I realized I didn't have my pocketbook. I was crying hysterically because my credit cards, everything, I didn't know what had happened. And as I was getting in my car, a woman pulled into my driveway, and she apologized. She said, I had to go home and get my GPS so I could bring you back your pocketbook because you saved me that space. And I was just amazed that she took the time to do that. And I myself have bought groceries for elderly people. They have to be a really cute couple. They just remind me of my in-laws. And one time I did it, and the gentleman, I asked him how many years they were married, and he said, over 50. And I said, happy anniversary, I'd like to buy your groceries. And he laughed, and he said, well, if I knew you were coming, I would have put steaks on the belt, and it would have been a better meal.
Oh, that's cute. I want to go back. Wait a minute. Yeah. Trish, so you're telling me that you observed, were you walking? Were you with your cart? Is that how you happened to leave your purse there? Wait a minute.
Yeah, I actually was putting my things in the car, and the girl pulled up and put her blinker on like she was going to take my spot. And I just waved like, okay, I'm almost done. And then I saw another gentleman pull in like he was going to take it. So I said, I got to back out to make sure she gets in the spot. And then I left. We waved, and it was like, yeah, I felt good. And then I realized my pocketbook was not with me, and she went back to Bridgeport, got her GPS, took out my wallet and came to my house in Shelton and delivered my pocketbook, and I sobbed hysterically. I was so grateful.
That is amazing. One good turn deserves another, right? That was unbelievable.
Absolutely. 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 Well, have a wonderful holiday, and I wish more people practiced our spirituality because we all have a book or a Bible or whatever, and there are basic social rules in all of our religions, and if we would only embrace those things, we'd all be better people, I think.
Yeah, we all know what the guide is supposed to be, right? We absolutely do.
Yep.
Thank you, Trish.
Lisa. Happy holiday.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's go to Gary from Greenwich. Gary, welcome to the show. What is your story today?
Good morning, Lisa. Well, mine is a little bit different. This is strangers being kind to other strangers, people that they don't know. And that is, for the last 20 years, I've been running blood drives here in Greenwich 6 times a year. And it's built up to be the most productive blood drive in the state of Connecticut. And at all of my drives, I get somewhere between 150 and 200 donors coming in to donate blood. And each unit of blood helps three other people at the far end. And the donors don't know who they're helping, but they do it anyway out of the kindness of their hearts. And
that is a great story.
Pandemic, there's a really urgent need for blood. And I will tell you that my next drive will be on Monday, October 4th, from 1:30 to 6:30 at Eastern Greenwich Civic Center in Old Greenwich. If anybody wants to sign up, they can go to redcrossblood.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
Gary, what has made you so devoted to this? It's a very beautiful thing. Why did you choose this? What makes you so devoted to this effort for charity?
You know, it's very funny. I was taking a training class when the planes hit the World Trade Center. And when that happened, I immediately went down to my local Red Cross chapter here in Greenwich. And I said, look, I was a medic in the Army. Is there some way that I can help out? And they put me into the Disaster Relief Center where I was, I'll call it the self-appointed gopher. But at the end of it, and that was at Christ Church here in Greenwich. And Christ Church shared the parking lot with Temple Shalom, where I attend, which is, as I say, right across the parking lot. At the end of that, the executive director, Norma Perlstein, came to me and said, you know, Gary, you can't leave the Red Cross. We need you, and I need you to help me run blood drives. I said, I don't know anything about blood drives. She said, like a Jewish mother, you'll learn. Mm-hmm. So I started doing that, and it's just been a wonderful thing. Over the 20 years, I've gotten to know so many of my regular donors, and it's wonderful. And I try to create a special theme for each of the drives. And because of what we're going through right now, my lawn signs, when I put them out, say, pandemics aren't scheduled, blood drives are.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gary. Yeah. This is a great call because it reminds us, and it's a good reminder, that giving blood is a perfect example of being kind to a stranger. It couldn't be more perfect as an example of being kind to a stranger whenever you give a pint of blood. Thank you, Gary. That's a great call.
One thing I'd like to add is that the drives that I run are scheduled for the first Monday of the even-numbered months. So the next one will be in October. The one after that will be the first Monday in December, and so forth and so on. Lisa,
thank you
so much, and happy and healthy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you, and to you. Let's go to Nick from Stratford. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the show. What is your story today about the kindness of strangers?
Good morning, Lisa. I love your show. I'm new here in Stratford, moved from New York. I just wanted to say I worked in Manhattan at the time, and this is going back a few years. And I ready to go. I'm going to work, and Manhattan, and stepped off the curb. And before I stepped off the curb, I looked both ways to see because there was traffic coming. And I stepped 1 foot down, and that's all I remember. And I passed out, I guess, because I had this terrific pain. And I woke up and I was sitting up next to a building on the ground. I was sitting up, and I didn't know what happened. And next thing I knew, this young guy was next to me, red hair, beautiful man. And he said, "Don't move. I picked you up and I brought you here, and tell me where your pain is." And I showed him. He says, "Well, I called the ambulance and they'll be here any moment." Now, I don't know how long I've been out. And he was standing, sitting right next to me on the ground. And when I heard the sirens, I turned to thank him and he was gone.
Oh, come on.
I swear. And I said, he must have been an angel. What could it be? Now, that's my story. And the ambulance came and took me to the hospital. But I wanted to thank him for what he did. And I could never, up to this day, I say he's an angel. That's my story. So.
How many years ago was that, Nick? How many years ago?
I was in my 30s. I'm 81 now.
So it was 50 years ago.
Yep.
Did you ever find out what it was that you had this terrific pain and all of that? You could have gone headlong into traffic. You could have gotten hit by a car if somebody hadn't been there to catch.
Exactly, because as soon as I put one foot down off the curb onto the street, I was out cold. I didn't know what happened, but the pain made me do that. I corrected that situation.
It wasn't your time, Nick. It wasn't your time. You were meant to live longer. Right. It wasn't your time.
Right.
My grandma Helen lived to 106.5, and she always would say to my father, "Mein Kind, it's in a book. It's written in the book." She always believed that. She always believed that our time on Earth was written in a book someplace, that it was fate.
Well, it's funny you said that. My grandmother always used to say, "My candle is still lit."
Mm-hmm. Candle is still lit.
That was her way of saying, "I'm still here," you know?
I'm still here. That's right. That's a great story, Nick. Oh, my God. I got the chills. Thank you for calling.
I just thought, I wanted to share it.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing it.
Happy New Year. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Nick. To you, too. Let's go to Julie from Shelton. We're talking about the kindness of strangers. If you're on hold, stay on hold.
You.
We're going to get to everybody. Hi, Julie. Welcome. Hi.
Thank you so much. I'm telling you this story. I didn't even want to call, tell you the truth. But I thought maybe it might help some teacher somewhere because I went to a private girls' school. And
Wait. Who am I talking to? Isn't this Fran?
It is. Nope. I'm sorry.
This
I didn't want to.
Oh, okay, Fran, I know your voice. Let's hear it from you. Hi, Fran.
I didn't know it was so recognizable.
Oh, it is.
But anyway.
Fran, you're very recognizable.
I guess. One never knows, does one? So anyway, I went to private girls' school, okay? And all my grades were great. You know, the languages, the English, blah, blah, blah. But when it was time to graduate, my geometry was terrible. And I can't even say the nun's name or anything. Might get somebody in trouble. But she says to me, "I'm going to pass you." She said, "I'm going to give you the lowest possible grade in geometry." Because she said, "You could sit here 100 years and you still wouldn't get it." So she said, "But every year thing." And I ended up, because of her kindness, okay, she could have stopped me dead from going into college bound, you know. Because college bound, you don't have to. In nursing, you don't have to take a lot of math. It's like 2 teaspoons equals a tablespoon. That's my level.
Okay. You know?
And anyway, she passed me. And lo and behold, even when I graduated, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I had no clue what I wanted to be. I just knew what I didn't want to be. So by the process of elimination, I went into nursing. And I ended up a troubleshooter for hospitals. You believe that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I worked in every damn hospital going in this state. So, and did very well. And just imagine now her kindness, what she says to me, you have to remember now, I'm a nun. I cannot tell a lie. So she says, but you have to promise me that you will never go near higher math. I said, no problem, sister. I can't do it.
I'll never go near. She was afraid that you would do a calculation. Someone might not make it to the moon. That's hilarious. Don't
she
go into higher math
heaven.
Now.
She wanted to go.
That's
to,
hilarious.
She didn't want to lie. She wanted to go to heaven.
Right.
So
thank
I told
you,
her not
Fran.
To worry about that one.
Thank you.
Okay,
that's a
goodbye.
Great story. Thank you. Let's go to Ralph from Bridgeport. Ralph, hi and welcome. Hello.
Oh, hi, Lisa. Let me just turn down my radio.
Please. Thank you.
First off, I want to, like your previous callers, I want to wish you a happy Rosh Hashanah, a healthy one. And like a couple of callers ago, when the woman said, all the religions have guidelines about how we're supposed to be others. And if we just did that, the world would be so much better. And many people don't know that the Torah is the first five books of the Holy Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I'll get right to my story. I was a little shy about telling it, but I have to do it in tribute to these men that helped me and my friend. It was in May of 88, my friend Valerie and I were going to the Benson and Hedges Blues Festival at the Beacon Theater, and we were on the West Side Highway. It was raining heavily. And as you know, the West Side Highway is only two lanes. Mm-hmm. Well, at some point, my car started to hydroplane. And I remember my friend Val putting her hand on my arm saying, don't be nervous. Well, when it stopped, we got out of the car. The rear of my car, I had a Chevy Malibu. It was on resting on the New Jersey barrier, the rear of it. The tires were about, I'd say, maybe an inch off the ground, 2 inches maybe. And she was very cool-headed. She says, look, do you have any plywood in your trunk or anything you can put under the tires? I'm like, no, I don't know what I'm going to do. Out of nowhere, now I'm blocked. My car is diagonally. It's blocking one lane and partially another lane, but the cars could still get around it. This black gentleman in a uniform, he pulled over on the other side of me. He was directing the traffic. This old green Cadillac. You remember the circus scene years ago where all the little midgets would get, forgive my language, when the little clowns would get out of the car?
Yes, yes.
Well, these like seven or eight little Spanish guys got out of this green Cadillac. They're like, get in your car, brother. We'll get you out of here. And I got in the car. They were on both sides. They lifted the car off. I righted the car. Thank God there was hardly any traffic, which I don't know why, because it was like 6 in the evening. And they're like, you're good now. And I went in my pocket. I went, well, I said, here, take this. I wanted to give them $20. They said, no, we don't need that. And I said, not one of them, I think, was over 5'5". And I said to the guy speaking to me, I said, God's going to bless you guys really good. And he said to me very calmly, he already has. And when I looked in my rearview mirror, I didn't see them. I mean, right out of nowhere, you know. So I'll let you get another call in, but thank you for what you give us. We love you. We're your radio family. And we want to wish you all the best for your new high holiday, for all you give us. God bless you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Ralph. All right, let's go. I think we have time for Sarah. Sarah from Stratford. Hi, Sarah. Hi.
Okay, I'm going to go fast as I can go. I'm going to do shorthand talking, all right? I had a sign in the neighborhood, and everybody was upset. A new house was going to be built right next to my driveway. And the reason is that the person that was going to make the house was a known offender of the law and had been in prison many, many times. I did not know this person, but I only knew what the people told me. And we went down to the town. Unfortunately, we lost, and he got to build his house, and our driveways were joined together. I said to my mother, I don't have to talk to him. I'm just going to say hi. My mother goes, wait a minute. You forgot your father's teaching and your heavenly father's teaching. No daughter of mine's going to be like that. And I said, okay, Ma, I'll say hi and goodbye, and she left. Well, anyway, one day I was outside, and he came over by the little kind of a fence, and he introduced himself, and he seemed like a nice man. But I said, whenever he's outside, I'm not going outside. I don't want to be bothered with him. So I'm hanging clothes one time, and he came over, and he said, you got a nice garden, et cetera. I said to him, well, you have a nice tree in the backyard. He says, yes, it's a fig tree, which was a part of my father's tree, and when I moved, my mother let me take it. Oh, I said, you're so blessed, because my father used to have five fig trees, and we got married. Who was concerned about fig tree? And my father passed away about 30 years ago. The property was changed in from a farm into three houses, and I never had any more of the fig tree. Well, we had another neighbor down the street, and he had a fig tree, and he knew I love figs. Every time he'd go by my house, he'd put two or three in the mailbox, ring the bell, and he'd walk away. Lovely couple, him and his wife, and it was done as a joke. So Tom came over one day, and he was talking to me, and he said, I'd like to be like you and your husband. And I thought, me and my husband? You know, we just was ordinary. And we got to talking, and when I was talking about God, he says, well, you're talking like you're talking about a person. I said, well, God is a person. So with my little whatever religious background I had, I told him how he could talk to God and so forth. And he says, well, you know, I'm going to go to prison next week. I got him a little red pocket Bible, and I gave it to him. And we prayed. We held hands, and we prayed. Now, every time he went away, he would come to prison. He'd come over, and we pray with him. So the elderly man passed away, and his wife called me one day, and she says, come down. John left you something. Now, I never wanted anybody to think I went to see these couples who had lovely antiques that I was looking for anything. And I said to her, she says, you have to take this. This is John's wish, and you have to do it. I went down to visit her. We had a cup of tea. She went out on the porch. She comes back in the house, and she has this little flower pot and had a little tree branch. And she said to me, this is the last of John's tree. He rooted it. He says, if I die, you have to give it to Sarah. No, nobody wants it. She says, you take it. So I took it, and I told Tom about the tree, and that was okay. I put it by the window. A month later, the leaves are falling off, and it was dying. And Tom asked me, I said, no. He said, give it to me. I went and I got it. He took it. He said, I'm going to put it by my dining room window, and you can watch it grow. He says, I'll fix it for you. So about 6 weeks later, he comes and he says, the thing is that you got to transplant it into the ground because the roots were too big for the pot. He got his shovel and on his knees, he's putting the plant in the garden, and everything's going fine. And that year there was a couple of buds on it, and I knew that next year the tree would be fine. Well, I had to go for a cancer operation, and my neighbor was so concerned. He kept sending me cards, sending me flowers every day. He said he couldn't do enough. And he called me this Saturday, and he says, I have to go someplace this morning, but I want to visit you this afternoon. Is that okay? And I said, fine. He said, well, I want you to know that I've been praying for you and that God has healed you, and you're going to be fine. Don't worry about anything. And he says, I don't think I ever told you. He says, but I love you very dearly. And I didn't know what to say, and I said, it's the same with me. And he went away. Well, the next day, there were so many people in the driveway and cars, and they didn't usually have that much company. I said to my husband, something's going wrong with the next door. Well, on Monday, in the paper, it said that he was missing. Now, his wife knew he would never break his parole. And I said to my husband, maybe his car went off the road and he's down the ditch. And I kept praying for him. Well, the end of the week, on the front page of the paper, was a story about him. He was found murdered in the parking lot at the Trumbull Shopping Center under the movie marquee for keeps. I couldn't even control myself because I was ashamed of how I judged him and what a nice man he was. I couldn't go to the church, but two of my children went. And when the priest got up to do the eulogy, he said he was heartless, he was rude, there was no love in him. And my daughter said, I thank God you weren't in church. I know you, Mom, you're Irish and Italian. You would have got up and said to the priest, I want my turn. And it was just, you know, so sad.
Sarah.
And he was just wonderful. So my neighbor said to me, come and visit me, because she knew how attached I was to him. And I told him what he did with the fig tree. And she said to me, did I ever tell you the story about, she used to call it my baby? And I said, no. She said, well, John loved these figs so much that someone gave him. They told him about the man in Bridgeport that had this
Sarah.
Fig tree. And he went there.
Oh, Sarah.
And he got
I
it.
Have to. I,
okay,
yeah,
but the man who gave the fig tree to, John
I
was my
it.
Father. So 30 years later, I got a branch and I got a fig tree from my father talking to a stranger.
Wow.
God bless you. God bless you. Be kind
Sarah.
To one another, for one day you may be entertaining a stranger who is an angel. God bless you. Have a beautiful holiday. Love your
Thank
program.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. Sarah has the most beautiful stories. Have a wonderful, happy new year, and I'll be back behind the mic on Thursday.